Joining us right now for a little DC Current presented by LABI is Congressman Troy Carter. Congressman Carter, good morning. Thank you for hopping on board.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How are you today?
I am doing very well. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Thanks for accommodating us. Getting on a little bit early today. We've got a big markup in transportation infrastructure. It's going to be a long day. So thank you.
Yeah, I love that we could talk infrastructure markup right after reporting that the 10 bridge has been closed throughout most of the morning. So you have a lot of attentive ears sitting in traffic right now.
Absolutely, man. Listen, it's a never-ending battle to balance the needs of infrastructure anywhere in the country, but certainly in Louisiana.
100%. This is DC Current presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Congressman Carter joins us every Tuesday. All right, Congressman, last Thursday, the news came down from the Supreme Court, and this is a topic that you and I have disagreed on in the past and will continue to disagree on, but it's looking like the discussion is going to begin again about redistricting, remapping our congressional districts in Louisiana.
That's right. And I think at the end of the day, I think we're going to agree more than we may realize. You know, Allen versus Milligan is the case that we're talking about that the Supreme Court ruled on, which basically says that the maps in Alabama were unconstitutional and need to be redrawn. And if you look at the formula in Alabama compared to the formula in Louisiana, it's eerily similar. Mm-hmm. Alabama has 27% African Americans, yet only one seat that is conducive to a minority being elected in. In Louisiana, we have 33%. Of the vote, yet we only have one, my seat. I think the pure math denotes that there should be a district that's drawn where a majority-minority has an opportunity to be elected. You know, we have reapportionment. This is where it becomes non-political. This is where the partisan rub goes away if you look at it from this vantage point. Every 10 years, we have reapportionment. Reapportionment is designed to assess the ebbs and flows of how our state has grown or decreased. Mm-hmm. In the past, our state decreased, we lost representation. Our state now has ticked up in population, and the math suggests that one-third that we should have, if African-Americans represent one-third of the state and there's six representatives, then there should be two districts that are drawn in a way that minorities can have an opportunity to be elected. That's not partisan. That's just math. That's just the way the growth of the state happened. And the Supreme Court agreed that there needs to be redrawing based on those numbers and the population shift.
But, and the problem comes in, Congressman Carter, is it takes more than just math to draw a district.
Well, no, it takes a lot of stuff to draw a district, but the math is what dictates that you must draw the district. It's a challenge, no doubt about it. How do we accomplish this in a state that is as spread out as we are? There's been several maps, and there's several demographers that have very strong positions one way or the other on how you can achieve this. You've got the whole north part of our state, Shreveport, and those areas that you could, in theory, create two minority-majority districts without upsetting the apple cart. And more importantly, recognizing the value of what reapportionment is for. Reapportionment determines the amount of money we get in federal allocations, and it determines the amount of seats that we get in the United States Congress. Listen, sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't. Members have lost their seats due to reapportionment in the past and when in the legislature as well as in Congress, and when the numbers shift, they make corrections. Sometimes it lands on the side that may be popular for one party. Sometimes it lands on the side that may be popular for another. But this should not be an issue that is deemed to be political. It's deemed to be a part of the reapportionment census process.
But, okay, and this is where I start to run into an issue. I agree that it should not be political. But the fact that it's being based off of politics, like, can you separate the politics from it?
Yeah, I think you can if you look just at the numbers, and if you look at history. This is where it should be clear. When you look at the history, Democrats have lost seats during reapportionment. Republicans have lost seats during reapportionment throughout the country, not just in Louisiana, and it's based purely on what the shift in population is.
Yeah.
If the population has a drastic shift one way or the other, you can't ignore that, right? Because our government, our form of representation is based on the census of the people that are living in the district. So if you go to California, California is overwhelmingly Democratic. So you've got most of your representatives are Democratic, but that's based on the population. If there was a massive shift of Republicans to move into California, those numbers would change because it's purely based on population.
What would your district end up looking like under one of the new proposed maps? Will we still have in Baton Rouge?
My district potentially, there's several maps out there. Potentially, I could lose Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Potentially, I could pick up some other parts there. You know, it's undetermined as to what. I will end up losing population. I won't lose population, but I'll lose African-American voters. So my district will be diluted some, and that's okay, because at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we do what the numbers suggest are best.
How much of – what are we looking at population density-wise when it comes to African-American voters? How spread out are those voters around the state? Because if you're looking at one-third are African-American voters, do you have the population density in any one area to make one particular map look more appealing than the others?
That depends on how – it depends on who's looking at it and who's answering that question. I will tell you that it is not impossible. It's doable, but it's – you've got to move some parts around the state. You've got to pull pockets together without having something that's completely gerrymandered, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be able to condense these districts in a way that you can create two minority-majority districts, and you can do it. It's possible. It just depends on what that's going to look like. There's several maps that were discussed in the legislature. There's several maps that various groups put forth, individual groups, put forth. There's several maps that are out there that maybe the legislature can call itself back into session and revisit maps that were out there that may not have gotten into the system, but they were introduced and never really had a chance to be spoken of. You've got maps that various organizations have. And then, of course, the judge herself could opt to draw a map based on maps that were out there that could start fresh. Or we can have all these various interest groups submit additional maps. You know, the thing about this is the legislature had a rather exhaustive roadshow. They went from city to city, and they had these discussions where individuals and groups had an opportunity to come into public hearings and talk about their concerns and to share, even in some cases where individuals submitted maps that they'd worked on. So, listen, it's a thorough process, but it's a process that works best when the people are involved. It's a process that works best when we're able to void ourselves of the politics and look at the numbers, and the numbers are clear. It's undeniable that if you have 33%, which is a third of the state, you should have two minority-majority districts. That I can't make that any clearer. If it were reversed and we're talking about majority cities, it would be the same argument because the math is the math.
Yeah, I know, and you remember from the times we've talked about this before. That's my biggest point of contention with this. Yes, it's right there in the Voting Rights Act. It's Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and I get that. But at the end of the day, it says nothing's more important than our race. At the end of the day, it says Congressman Troy Carter is a fellow Louisianan. Congressman Troy Carter is a fellow American. Congressman Troy Carter is a brother in Christ. Congressman Troy Carter can peel a crawfish faster than my own congressman can. But at the end of the day, nothing it's been proven. But at the end of the day, nothing matters other than you're black and I'm white, and I don't like that.
No. But that doesn't, because I represent black and white people. I represent Democrats and Republicans. I represent everyone that resides within the 102nd District, regardless of their race, their religion, their creed, even their ideological backgrounds. I took an oath of office to represent the people of the 2nd District, and I do it every single day of my life, regardless of their background. But that doesn't mean that when the demographics shift, that there should not be the opportunity for that shift to be recognized. It doesn't mean that it has to be divisive. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it has to cause the angst that some people have. Listen, I'm very proud of my district, and I'm very proud of the fact that I take great pride in representing everyone, regardless of your background. I'm a proud Democrat. I make no apologies for it. I'm a proud African-American. I make no apologies for it. But I represent Republicans, Democrats, black, white. I represent everyone that falls within the 100, within the second district.
He is Congressman Troy Carter. We were supposed to talk a little bit about hurricane season as well, but you got a vote to get to. Hurricane season will still be around next week, so let's move that to the top of next week's agenda.
You got it. I'll just give you one. There's the bell, but I'll give you one parting piece.
Go for it.
Get ready. Be prepared. Don't wait until the last minute. Do the we send out these checklists. Pay attention to them. Gas up your car. Get your prescription medicines together. Check on family, friends, and pets.
Garrett wants a rematch on that crawfish peeling, by the way. Go vote, Congressman. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother.